Welcome to Ron Paul and Charles Goyette, the weekly podcast, Some Two-Party System. In the days before the 13th commemoration of 9/11, we got a look at the interventionist foreign policy that guides the Republicans and Democrats alike. Now, for the Democrats, President Obama addressed the nation to announce what some have called the Third Iraq War, while for the Republicans, Dick Cheney emerged and was welcomed to the House Republican Conference to scold what he called isolationism among Republicans. In response, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid says Dick Cheney is more responsible than anyone else for the worst foreign policy decision in the history of the country, the invasion of Iraq. And that's true as far as it goes, but Reid didn't think to mention that he himself had voted for it. Even the New York Times thought to observe that Cheney did not discuss the fact that many ISIS leaders were former Iraqi military officers who were imprisoned by American troops, but the Times should have gone on to point out, Dr. Paul, that many of them have also been armed and trained by the United States.
And they certainly ended up with American weapons. It was such an irony to read that when Obama finally decided to be tough and satisfy the neocons, he said, we'll send some planes in to rescue some in that last battle, that battle they were fighting in northern Iraq. And he said that, well, the Air Force's first job was to bomb and destroy the American weapons. And if that doesn't wake anybody up, that never will, because the weapons were in the hands of the ISIS. They got there from every place like Syria, Iraq, and Libya. So they ended up with American weapons. So in order to fight this war, you know, fair and square, we had to destroy all our own weapons that the enemy got hands on. So I got to thinking when that happened, I bet you the military-industrial complex is not going to worry too much about this. But, you know, there's so much dumb stuff out there that, unfortunately, the people are believing. A year ago, I thought we were doing pretty well in winning this fight against this insane intervention. But right now, I'd have to say the neocons have gained some strength. And they've been able to manipulate the killing of two Americans into, an atmosphere that the majority of people in Washington especially are ready to start World War III. And along with antagonizing Russia so that they're involved as well. But Obama in his speech, it wasn't exactly a great speech for liberty, but he said, well, conditions are different now after he got beat up by the media by not having a precise plan. So his tone was emphatic, and that made the neocons happy. And he said, we've achieved a government now in Iraq, and that was one of my requirements. Now we have to work a little bit on the regional allies coming together. So they're the soldiers on the ground that get killed rather than the Americans. But, you know, Obama says the answer is more troops. He already put 1,000 back in there now. And last night he said 425 more going in, which means it's going to be gradual, steady escalation. But this argument that no boots on the ground, well, what are CIA agents? They don't even count them. What about the contractors? Understand the contractors are going to be involved again. And what about the special forces? They're around all the time. So even that doesn't matter. But if you're bombing people, you still produce the incentive for people to want to attack us. And this is what they don't understand. So the more we bomb and the more we interfere, whether we say, oh, no, we're not for war. We're for sanctions and we're for bombing. But we don't want to really fight a war and we don't want to occupy anymore. But believe me, the incentive to have people join ISIS or even al-Qaeda has always been our presence there. And that's something they refuse to listen to. I don't know whether they don't understand it or they just flat out don't want to understand it. But, Cheney has gotten into this. And one thing that he has said was anybody who's for non-intervention, he said, just remember, non-interventions are dogmatic as, you know, and just as dangerous as anybody else. But in a way, dogmatism is used only when you're attacking your enemies. Dogmatism means you're off on tangents. Not that the neocons aren't dogmatic and the interventionists, they're very dogmatic. But dogmatic isn't the really term that you should be looking for. What are you dogmatic about? What are you insist on? What do you really believe in? I'm very dogmatic. that aggression is evil, whether it's done by us or them. And it's the initiation of force and the pretense that we can change the world by bombs and sanctions and invasions and occupations. I'm dogmatically opposed to that. So it's the ideas that count. Unfortunately, what we have seen, and we've seen a reversal in the tone of the president, although I can't believe that he was ever deserving of the Nobel Peace Prize, because he just thought a softer tone and he could still get away and make everybody happy. But it isn't occurring, because these kinds of wars, which are ideological wars, they say that ideology is not all that important. But right now, they don't understand the ideology of the people we're fighting, and their ideas are spreading, and we're feeding into it, and that is what they don't understand. So I'm amazed at, the ignorance of our leaders as far as understanding the history and how this has come about, and you'd think they'd wake up when you see that this has been going on. This is not just 1 year that we've had this big argument about when should we start or expand the war again. But I claim it's been going on since 1990, ever since we sort of gave a green light for the invasion of Kuwait. And it has been steady. And someday, hopefully, we'll all wake up. But I'm afraid our country is not going to wake up until our dollars quit functioning and we're declared bankrupt and we will have no other choice but to come home. And the sooner the better.
I thought that the White House speechwriters might have lifted some of Obama's remarks right out of LBJ's addresses about Vietnam, like it was a cut-and-paste speech. We cannot do for Iraqis what they must do for themselves. I'll tell you, that is virtually identical with LBJ saying, we will not send American boys thousands of miles away to do what Asian boys ought to be doing for themselves.
Yes, and you would think they would catch on, but I think the media is either locked in philosophically or locked in by the ignorance of what they know about the world because of our educational system, but they certainly do not provide, any serious questions about what is going on. And they actually believe that the only way America operate is to have a strong president. To them, a strong president means that he has to use weapons. And I've argued that a strong president, has to be able to resist the pressure of the establishment. And yet, when you speak the truth and make an effort to explain these things, it's always suggested that you're some type of committing some type of treason. And truth is treason, and an empire lies, I am convinced. So look at the attack that we're having on our liberties at home. And that's one thing that really bothers me. Is they're sent over there. Our troops are sent over there, whether they're on the ground or bombing from there. We're always over there to protect our Constitution and protect our rights. And now that we are threatened by ISIS, we have to do even more. Well, we're threatened. Indeed, we're threatened. But we're threatened by the tyrannical approach by our government officials, and they don't all belong in one party, believe me. And so when you see NSA growing and the CIA invasion, the elimination of the Fourth Amendment, presidents announcing they can assassinate American citizens, and endless spending and special interest politics. I tell you what, the real danger is here at home. And that's why not only would it be wise to come home for a lot of reasons, it would be wise to come home because it might give us a chance to think about protecting our liberties here at home.
Well, President Obama actually got away with a lot during his speech. For example, he cited American military policy in Somalia and Yemen and how successful they have been. It's clearly not the case. Both nations are a mess. They are violent. They are in a state of chaos, both places. Obama went on to talk about training moderate Syrian opposition forces. But, you mentioned the precipitating event of the beheading of American journalists that got the attention, captured the attention of the American people. One of the family friends of journalist Stephen Sotloff said that these so-called moderates, the self-same moderates that we will be arming, sold Sotloff to ISIS for $50,000.
It is so tragic. And Obama's argument that, one of the things, now that we have this more stable government in Iraq, we have to build our allies. But I'll tell you one way you could get an alliance over there that would resist is just for us to leave. And then we wouldn't be fighting ISIS and Assad at the same time. We wouldn't be fighting radicals in northern Iraq and trying to align ourselves in southern Iraq that's aligning us with Iran. So I would think that if we left, there still would be a problem. It would be much smaller if we had never been there for 14 years, but there'd be always some radicals. And if they got out of hand, the governments would come together. There's no government support for ISIS, but there's no incentive either, because they get the moral high ground to a large degree, because they're able to preach the doctrine of occupation and invasion and the use of force by foreigners. So that's a powerful weapon to unify people and at least become more violent. And Americans ought to think, wonder what we would be like if anybody came into this country and did anything nearly like that, or put ships in the Gulf of Mexico, or all these things. We would be so outraged, or monkeying around with the Soviets, the old Soviets, or the Russians putting troops in Mexico. That's a legitimate concern. But when it's done over there by us, we're just we're beating our heads against the wall. And I'm always hopeful that we can wake up some people. But right now, tragically, the neocons have the upper hand. They're going to get any vote they want passed in the Congress, even though Obama says, I don't need it. I got my pen. I can do whatever I want. But they'll pass something and just give some sanction to what he's doing, because of this alliance between the military-industrial complex, the media, our government, and our politicians, the neocon philosophy, and they all come together and they can dictate the war propaganda. And it reminded you of Vietnam, but it reminds me of how they changed the propaganda the very first time we went in to get Saddam Hussein, after the invasion of Kuwait, told a lot of lies there to get the American people to go along with that as well.
In any event, it's the one-party state, the one-party interventionist state on display. The parties may differ in some of the details and the aggressiveness with which they want to do what they do, but it's all the same, whether it's the Republicans or Democrats, in my view. Dr. Paul, thank you for another informative conversation and podcast. And we'd like to thank you for listening and telling your friends about our weekly podcast. I'm Charles Guay.